we'll just stop here. I mean, we'll stop here. We'll discuss this one. All right. So, so if you're thinking about writing a compiler, the algorithm I described illustrates a pretty difficult compiler challenge, because I have developed a very efficient algorithm in the following sense. Because whenever I do the broadcast or the roll of B, I am doing it for m squared elements. Remember, we're storing m, little m by little m subblocks in each processor. And I've managed to find an algorithm or a way of thinking about the algorithm so that I do the communication in one fell swoop for all those m squared elements. And so, as you may remember, latency is a big problem in communication. You do not wish to communicate small numbers of elements. You want to communicate a lot of elements. And so this algorithm has basically found the maximal number of elements that you can communicate at a time, which is m squared. And the reason why matrix multiplication is such an efficient algorithm on most parallel machines is that you can arrange the communication so that the amount of stuff communicated at the time is very big, it's m squared. If you think back to Laplace's iteration, any two processors only exchange the edge points of the domain. So if you had an m by m domain of grid points in each processor, the message size was not m squared, it was m, because that's the number of points on the edge. So a critical difference between matrix multiplication and classic PDE solvers is that the communication is in big blocks, m squared. And that means that the startup time is negligible. So that means that some extremely lousy computers run matrix multiplication very well, because their startup is unimportant. So if you want to make networks of PCs and things like that, which might otherwise have poor startup because of Ethernet or ATM drivers, you should use matrix multiplication to convince your sponsor to buy it, because it will look best, because it has such a low latency, which is usually very big for such a what I call informal supercomputers. Is unimportant typically for matrix multiplication because of the large messages. Alright, so if you look at the there is some rather irrelevant startup terms here. Root m minus 2 is 2 for n equals 4. If we took our large matrices, m might be thousands here, so these startup terms are irrelevant. So basically the total communication time is 2m squared. The total calculation time is 2m cubed. So if we add all that together and ignore this root n term here, we can find the total compute time, we can calculate the efficiency, we can calculate the overhead, because the overhead is normal, which is 1 over efficiency minus 1. Remember, I think we discussed earlier, overhead is always a nicer thing to calculate than efficiency, because overhead is always linear in the parallel terms, which in this case here is the communication time divided by the calculation time. So matrix multiplication has the essential term here is a typical communication time per word divided by m, where we store m by m submatrix in each processor, divided by tcalc. So this form is quite interesting for the following reason. Because I said matrix multiplication is quite different from Laplace's equation, but if you did Laplace's equation in two dimensions and looked at the formula we got for performance there, you'll find the performance is identical. Namely, for Laplace's equation, in the simplest algorithm, the overhead is also tcom over the number of points on the edge of a region times tcalc, exactly the same formula. However, as I pointed out, it's really, although the overhead is the same, the algorithms have an important difference. For Laplace's equation, the communication goes like m, and the computation goes like m squared, because you do an update of each point. And for matrix multiplication, the communication goes like m squared and the computation goes like m cubed. So the communication and computation are m times more important for matrix multiplication than they are for a classic iterative algorithm. And that feature is the one that means the startup effects and overheads like that are irrelevant for matrix multiplication, because m squared is usually a big number, but often extremely important for PDE solvers, because m, which is the typical communication message size, can often be a small number compared to startups. So although the ratio of communication time to computation time when you ignore startup is the same for the two problems, matrix multiplication in practice will behave a lot better on most practical computers and make lousy computers look wonderful. And whereas Laplace's equation is a much more sensitive test as to the excellence of your parallel computer and how good your communication network is, because it really does test for latency in the messaging. For compilers, matrix multiplication is more challenging, because if you take somebody's classic code written out in terms of matrix elements and you just parallelize it using the under computes rule, you will actually do a communication. You will tend to do your communication in single words at a time if you're not careful. So matrix multiplication is an example where there's a great benefit from the compiler analysis, which allows you to find out how much information can be blocked into a message, because you can actually block m squared into a actually 2m squared, because you can block all the a's and then you can block all the b's, and then you have enough in your in each processor to just do a classic in-processor matrix-matrix multiplication. So remember, again, coming back to Laplace's equation, there again we had communicate-compute cycles. We had a very different actual sort of structure, because to get Laplace's equation to work right, we had to set up these guard rings so that we could fetch the neighboring processor's information into guard rings, these extra matrix, extra grid points around the edge, so that we had an m by m in each processor. We actually defined, in the simplest case, an m by 2 by m by 2 array in each processor so that the communication could beat the guard rings. Then we did our computation. So we see that the matrix multiplication has some similarities and some differences. In both cases, blocking is important. In the case of matrix multiplication, there are no guard rings necessary. That doesn't make any sense, because you're just actually changing, you're just setting up new submatrices. The net result of the overhead is comparable, and the result that always intrigued me was the fact that at the end of all this, you got this overhead which went like 1 over the square root of the grain size, where n is the amount of matrix elements stored in each processor. And that sort of was neat, because it said that you got a formula that the overhead went like the t comma over t cap divided by grain size to the 1 over the dimension for systems of dimension d, and then matrices which didn't have any nearest neighbor structure did look as though they had two-dimensional, which is nice, because matrices, if you write them out, are two-dimensional. So it says that so that's why I used to call this the system dimension. Namely, nearest neighbor problems have a natural geometrical dimension of 2. Matrices have no locality, because we're doing communication over rows and columns. There's no locality. but they still, in spite of having no locality, look like a two-dimensional problem. So I see that as quite sort of intriguing. I don't know how, and there are other examples if you read my papers where you see the same effect.